New Covenant Life by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Commentary for the June 26, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. For centuries, game players have striven to bring battle tactics to the tabletop. Perhaps the earliest form of that exercise, still widely played, is chess. Highly skilled players competing on a global level represent their countries at tournaments where they hope to become the next world champion. I have played the game since my teen years, even playing varsity chess in high school. To this day, I still play several games per day against a computer AI. Although I am nowhere near champion caliber, I find that as I am nearing the end of my seventh decade, it helps to keep my mind sharp. Over time, some wanted more complexity than chess could provide, and miniature wargaming came into being. Perhaps one of the earliest devotees was the fantasy writer Robert Louis Stevenson, author of Treasure Island, Kidnapped, and The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Using toy soldiers, he developed rules of battle that allowed him and others to go to war in his parlor. Another fantasy writer, H.G. Wells, also contributed to early wargaming, even publishing a rule book, Little Wars. Eventually, several branches of wargaming evolved with appropriate rules for each genre. Large-scale conflicts were designed, and for those who wanted a more intimate experience, engagements at squad or small group level were developed. Within these two basic genres, two worldviews developed. Some did their wargaming based on historical armies and the battles they fought. Others chose instead to explore the what-ifs of fantasy and developed rules for fantasy engagements where the armies and individual soldiers had attributes not found on a conventional battlefield. While fantasy and history may be seen as opposites, even historical battles can have a certain amount of fantasy, where a player can envision a tactic never before exploited and meet victory conditions in an otherwise seemingly impossible scenario. For example, in a tabletop war game I played in several years ago, Allied armored units were faced with slowing the advance of a superior German armored assault through uneven wooded terrain. Realizing we could not fight it out face to face with the enemy due to their superior armor, we tried to devise a way to exploit the weaker armor their tanks had on their rear. We managed to maneuver some of our tanks to their rear, with our movements being hidden by hills and trees. This allowed us to disable several of their tanks with our first shots. However, once we fired, they knew where we were and quickly knocked out our tanks one by one. But to their surprise, even though they wiped us out, we had delayed their advance long enough to meet the victory conditions, and we won the game. Our opponents learned that one should never become so intently focused on what the enemy is doing that they lose sight of the actual goal. Perhaps one of the best known of the small group fantasy games is Dungeons & Dragons. When this was first published in 1974 by TSR Games, it sparked widespread protests from the evangelical Christian community, triggered perhaps by the correlation between the word dragon and the serpent of Genesis chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 12. This is not without reason, as the game often portrays both dungeons and dragons as intrinsically evil, but the players are often tasked with creating and playing characters that will hopefully confront and defeat the evil. The characters they create are endowed with their personal gifts by the roll of several die. They are given levels of strength, wisdom, dexterity, charisma, and other abilities at high, medium, or low levels. Later during the game, when faced with a situation that requires that gift, they may have to do a critical roll of a die. If they do not roll a number within that attribute's range, they fail in that skill. Once they have determined all their character's natural abilities, then they will decide what class their character should be. For instance, a character with high strength and endurance will often be a warrior, capable of withstanding a lot of physical damage while protecting the group from assaults. On the other hand, a character with high wisdom and dexterity might become a healing cleric. Typically, groups will form for these role-playing adventures using characters of various classes to be able to face the widest possible array of challenges. One might ask what all this has to do with the New Covenant life. When one enters a relationship with Jesus Christ, they are facing life as they have never faced it before. Like an adventurer standing before the door of a dungeon, not knowing what threats or rewards lay beyond, faith in the ability to persevere and overcome provides the ability to move forward through that door. The gamer relies on their attributes, their armor, and their weapons to face what may be lurking in the shadows. The new Christian must do the same. Our verse from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church at the beginning of this commentary lists some of the gifts a Christian may be able to call upon as they work their way forward toward heavenly realms. Some of these are the same as those given to the gamer's character: wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, as well as several others. But just as one character in a game may have rolled a high wisdom score and another a high knowledge score, the intent of these gifts is not to make a perfect character, but instead to create a well-rounded team. Paul warned the early church that all these abilities are important. As each character plays their part in the role-playing game, it enhances the abilities of the group overall. In the same way, as each Christian uses the gifts God has given them, the body of Christ is enhanced as well. While some suppose because they have received a special title or a privileged task to do, they are elevated above those with different gifts performing different tasks, such an attitude weakens the overall body. These kinds of attitudes in role-playing games often lead to infighting and the failure of the group to carry out its mission. For this reason, while some may vilify these role-playing games, they are excellent tools for teaching the importance of teamwork and what happens when a team falls out. An advantage of role-playing games is that they allow players to act out various personalities and scenarios that allow growth and character development without typical real-world risks. Several decades ago, I had the opportunity to play an evil character in an online game. This was back before such games had graphics. Everything was in text. It is surprising how intense a game can become when it is all text and the only images are in your head. Anyway, I was successful at playing this character and rose to a high level with powerful equipment. I learned a lot about the mindset of evil and what such a life was like, always running, never trusting anyone. What finally brought me down was when high-level, good-aligned characters teamed up to hunt me down and defeat my character. None of them was able to do it alone, but together they were able to seal off all exits and end my evil career. This taught an important lesson about good people working together as a team. None of us alone is as strong as all of us working together, as Paul said we should. When we repent and are baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, we receive special gifted attributes according to the needs of the church. Just as a gamer cannot control what numbers come up on the dice when generating their role-playing character, we are not able to control what gifts God gives us. But we can know that whatever those gifts are, they are designed for a special purpose that enhances the church. If we fall out among ourselves, we will instead diminish it. It is to the benefit of all to recognize the gifts we each bring to the mission and receive them with grace and gratitude. Our past does not decide our place in the kingdom. The woman at the well, despite her complicated past, was called by God to bring many into fellowship with Christ, and this almost immediately. Our worth to God's team is not decided by how long or for how many generations we have been attending the same church denomination. It is not decided by how many material blessings we have received. If we are using our gifts to enhance the accomplishment of the mission, we are of great worth, even though our part may seem small to us. But if we are using our gifts to make ourselves appear to be something we are not, we may find that our worth to the mission is negligible and unable even to bring ourselves home to God. That would be a tragedy. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find other commentaries like it, as well as the scripture footnotes for this commentary, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God bless you and your family richly.